In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
And if we're honest today in church, there are times when we are involved in situations where we cannot seem to make heads or tails of what's going on. God, I don't understand. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand. And we pray desperately. Anybody with me? In the anguish of our heart, and we get no answer. God seems to be silent, and things get worse and almost unbearable. And further to that, church, listen, we open our Bibles and read some reassuring passage or try to remember back how we even got in these places. And so it's just, Well, these are the storms of life.
Thanks for tuning in to In Christ Radio. We continue in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. Today, we're in chapter 6, verses 45 through 56, with the lesson titled, Overcoming Life's Troubles and Fears. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus sends his disciples across the lake while he goes to pray. As the storm rises and their strengths fail, Jesus comes to them, walking on the water. Though they were terrified, he speaks words of comfort. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. The lesson is clear. Storms will come, but Jesus is greater than the wind and the waves. When we fix our eyes on him, fear gives way to faith, and troubles become opportunities to see his power at work. So when life's troubles rise around you, do you let fear rule your heart, or do you trust the presence and power of Christ to carry you through? Let's join Pastor Ben in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 56, in the lesson titled, Overcoming Life's Troubles and Fears.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all.
All right, if you have your Bibles, grab them and go with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 is where we're at. You have in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark. There you go, second book. Here you go. Mark chapter 6 is where we're going to be. I'm entitled this message, Overcoming Life's Trials and Fears. Overcoming Life's Trials and Fears. If you remember, the key theme of this book is found in chapter 10, verse 45. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And one thing I love about just going through the Gospels, guys, is we get to hang out and we get to learn from Jesus. And so we're excited about that. Mark chapter 6, give me a good amen if you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The story of Jesus walking on the water while his disciples rowed the boat has actually been an amazing one. And if you have a church background or not, you've probably heard that story many times in your life. Jesus walking on the water. I'll never forget the first time I was introduced to that, if you will. I was just a little kid and we'd drive up to, my grandma lived in Taos, New Mexico. We lived in Santa Fe and we'd drive the 70 miles. And you guys remember what it was like going to your grandmother's house and all of that. And I remember sitting in the living room and she had this picture. She had this picture on the wall. I'll never forget it. The couch is placed here and is on the wall. And it was Jesus. And it was one of those pictures, if you remember, that if you move, Jesus moved. You know what I'm talking about? Do you guys remember those? I don't even know if they have it. It's called a motion blur. But you would do this and Jesus would move and he would blink like this and all this crazy stuff you would do. Do you guys remember that? Anyways, this was the picture she had on her wall. It was Jesus walking on the water. And if you sort of went like this, it looked like he was literally walking on the water. And I remember sitting there going, wow. Like it's the ocean. Here's this. I didn't know anything about Jesus, but I was introduced to that. And there were times that I would sit and I would just stare at it and I moved a little bit back and forth and Jesus was actually walking on the water. And I bet we can agree the story of Jesus walking on the water, we've heard, and it's one for the books. We're like, yeah, yeah, I've heard that. Now, when you think about that lesson, I mean, when you think about the story of Jesus walking on the water, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from the story itself. You go, well, what do you mean? For example, if you're taking note, jot this down. The first lesson we can learn without even looking at it, but just by remembrance, is making room for God. That's the first thing we can do, make room for God. You go, how so? If you recall in the story, and we'll look at it in just a minute, Jesus sent the boys to the other side. He says, get in the boat, go to the other side, because he went to spend time with the Father. And even with a busy schedule, if you remember the context, he was healing the mob with the crowd. He was working. He fed the 5,000. He still made room for God. He took time to make room for God. And the quote I found for that was, what do we need to get rid of to make room for God? Oftentimes, we'll fill our lives with busyness, and we forget to make room for God. Great lesson to learn. The second thing we can learn is to recognize the Lord. You go, Ben, what do you mean? Even though the disciples had been with Jesus for a long time, they didn't recognize him as he approached them in the storm. And this reminds you and I that we may not recognize the Lord when he comes to them in the middle of their own personal storms. We're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the text, but it's important that we recognize the Lord. The third thing I think is highly important, another lesson we can learn is something called restoring faith after a lapse. Restoring faith. You see, Mark doesn't share this, but if you recall, Peter's faith was shaken as he climbs out of the boat. He walks on the water and only to sink in desperation. Do you remember Mark's greatest theological prayer was, Lord, help! That's all he prayed. Lord, help! That's it. And again, think about this. It was God restoring their faith. Peter almost drowned that day. Jesus pulled him back. He's in the boat. And the one thing we don't see in Mark's gospel is it says that they worshiped the Lord. They worshiped. I find that interesting too, because when we look at restoring faith after a lapse, guys, we can learn something very, very interesting. Number one, we're very good at blaming others. Oh, look at you, you silly. You got out of the boat. Now you're drowned. You're soaking wet. But the disciples didn't do that. The disciples said, we just need to worship the Lord. I don't know how many of them looked at each other and goes, well, I didn't get out of the boat. Did you get out? You didn't get out of the boat. Peter did. Peter got out of the boat. And although we give Peter a hard time, he's the one who got out of the boat. But here's the point. Peter's experience reminds Christians that a lapse of faith is merely a lapse. That's all it is. And the Lord is still there for believers who call upon him. Just a lapse. Oh, I can't believe it. And so though, even though you and I are familiar with this text, I would like us to dig just a little bit deeper. You go, how so? Well, today, I would like us to apply the text by comparing the storm on the sea to the storms you and I face in life. Oh, I'm not talking about how it was, I think it was Friday night or Thursday night when the rain would come and then it'd stop and then it'd lightning and had more rain and we're in the storm. I'm not talking about those storms. I'm talking about the storms of life that can rise up without any notice. And they often bring troubles and fears. I mean, here's what I want you to think about. Have you ever found yourself in the early mornings, the early morning hours in the middle of some horrible circumstance or some awful life storms? You find yourself pacing back and forth, hoping for some kind of breakthrough. All the while, if you're honest, wondering, where is God when I need him? And if we're honest today in church, there are times when we are involved in situations where we cannot seem to make heads or tails of what's going on. God, I don't understand. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand. And we pray desperately. Anybody with me? In the anguish of our heart, and we get no answer. God seems to be silent, and things get worse and almost unbearable. And further to that, church, listen, we open our Bibles and read some reassuring passage or try to remember back how we even got in these places. And so it's just, oh. Well, these are the storms of life. These are the storms of life. And with the storms of life, we cannot predict them. We can't see them. And yet, we discover we all go through them. We all go through them. Well, today, we're going to discover how we can overcome these trials, these tribulations, and these fears. I've only jotted down five. There's probably more, but let me give you five areas in which we weather the storms of life. Okay? Number one, jot this down. It's in death. It's in death. You go, how so? A storm of life we walk through is the death of a loved one, a death of somebody close, a death that happens unexpectedly. It's a storm we all dread going through. As a matter of fact, my cousin in New Mexico had posted something on Facebook about praying for a family. And when you think about it, this was a storm that rose up, and for no other reason, we have this 23-year-old gal. The snowstorm, if you will, hit New Mexico, hit Santa Fe and Espanola and all the area, just like it always does. And the obituary says that this young girl, due to the inclement weather, well, now she's passed. The family, looking at her life, going, she has a lot to live for. She's, man, and now she's gone. You see, that's a storm that this family's going through right now. Wait, I didn't expect it. Whoa, she wasn't sick. Oh my goodness, she was 23. What in the world? And as they seek to bury this young lady, that's a major storm. That's a major storm. When I think of the next few years in our church, I can't help but think about some of us who may not be here. I can't help but think that I might be doing your funeral within the next 4 to 6 years. It's not something that I enjoy. It's not something that I'm like, of course, we'll rejoice that you're there, but you'll leave a big hole in our hearts. That's a storm. Another area that we can talk about that we weather the storms of life is in health. It's in health. Storms of life that pertain to our health. You see, there are times when we're just not feeling good, and we go to the doctor, and the doctor runs some tests, and the next thing you know, we get the news. Hey, it's, and we all dread the C word. Hey, it's cancer. Or you've got lupus, or you've got, and we weather those storms. We all hope to go to the doctor, and even though it's a health scare, we all hope to go to the doctor or find out, hey, it's okay. No, you're fine if you'll just take this, this, and this. But more likely than not, there's a lot of us who will go through a storm that pertains to our health or to the health of somebody we love. Another storm that we don't like to talk about, another area that we weather is finances, financial. We experience storms in the realm of finances. You go, how so? Well, you all know this. It's an unexpected bill that comes. You've got everything budgeted, and here comes this bill, and it's not just like, hey, $100. I mean, it's a big bill. Or you have an unexpected job loss. Your boss calls you in and says, hey, we're restructuring, we're downsizing, we're going to have to let you go. Think, what am I going to do? This is a storm we've got to weather. We've got to weather. Now, you're all looking at me like, no, do we? You know what? I'll just find another one. We say that when we have a good job. But when we don't have a job, we're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Am I going to make enough money? And so we see that in the financial realm. The fourth one that we can talk about, and again, there's probably more, but this is another one, guys. This is in relationships. Major storms brew in the closest of relationships. And I like to start off with saying, you know, the prodigal sons, the prodigal children. You've got a daughter that runs off. You've got a son that runs off, turns away from God, and you're just, that's a major storm that parents have to weather, especially if you've been brought up in Christianity. You're bringing up your kids, you love them, and you just hope the very best for them, but then now they've run off and they've turned their back on God, and that just blows you, and you think it would never happen, there's no way, but it does. Now, I'll thank God that God is bringing the prodigal children back. Can I get an amen? He's doing a work, but it's still a storm you have to walk through. Many of you in this room, some of you in this room, have had the major storm through a divorce. Maybe not something that you chose or did or however it might be, or maybe it was some choices that you made. And so you're walking through these are just relationships that storms that we go through. And maybe divorce is not even on the table, but the relationship you have with your spouse is one that you've got to work through some issues. You've got to work through this, and it's a storm you're weathering right now. And so the last one that I wrote down here was anxiety and mental health. That's a real thing. So I went online and I said, what are the main causes of mental health? You know, what's the main cause? And they said, there's not really one, but I'll tell you what one of them is. It's stress. Stress, anxiety, everything. I mean, emotionally, not resting, not taking your time. All of this stuff can bring a breakdown in anxiety and mental health. Well, that's a storm that some of us, if not all of us, walk through. See, life is not easy. And then being a Christian doesn't help. You go, wait a minute, don't put that on the radio. No. Here's the thing. The thing about it is that Christianity, you've changed teams, you now work for God, you're living for God, and so the enemy goes, oh no, I'm going to bring on more stress, I'm going to bring on more attacks, and that's why there's not a whole lot of people who are fully devoted followers of God, because it's tough, Now, before we jump into our text, let me remind you these again. We have some storms in death and health, finances, relationships, anxiety, and mental health. But I want to go back just a little bit because I want to bring you up to speed of what we learned last week and see how it ties into this week's teaching. Last week, we talked about running on empty. If you recall, Jesus told his disciples, he said, let us go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He says, and this is because there were so many people coming and going, and Jesus and his disciples, they didn't have time to even rest or eat. So Jesus says, hey, we need to get together. The disciples at this point, Jesus recognized they're running on empty. Their lives were filled with ministry. Their lives were filled with fellowship. And of course, just plain life. And the lesson that you and I talked about last week, well, when it comes to us, we too, in 2024, can run on empty. We can. And really, there are three main categories that we experience this. And if you recall, we talked about running on empty physically. Physically, we're just running and we're just tired. We're just tired physically, and we need to rest. Now, that's the hardest thing for you and I to do, is to rest. I'll just get through with this, man. I'll just do this. It's really, really hard. Gosh, I would say many, but all of us probably feel guilty for taking a moment to rest. We feel guilty. I need to be doing something. God's called us to rest. The second thing is, as we learned, if you recall, is emotionally, not only physically, but we're emotionally running on empty. We give and we pour out and we give and we pour out, and eventually we come to the place where it's like, man, I have nothing more to give. You see, the disciples were like, we have nothing left to give. We're trying to break away. These people are coming. And then last but not least, spiritually, you guys remember what happened last week? The Lord Jesus looks at him. He says, hey guys, Jesus, we need to feed them. There's all these people, and send them away so we can feed them. And the Lord's like, you feed them. And they're like, are you serious? If they had been walking with Jesus, they've seen miracles, but they just didn't have it spiritually. And let me say this to you, church. Listen, when you're not resting physically, and that's a command, you go home and tell people, my pastor said I need to rest. Okay, don't be lazy. I don't want to get calls over here going, my wife won't get off the couch. My husband hasn't moved in 3 days. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But what I am saying is that the mandate is to rest physically, to rest. Resting does not mean you do yard work, Joe Mabry. Resting means rest. But if we're not taking care of ourselves physically or emotionally, man, we're going to run on empty spiritually. We just really are. And we left off last week with this. We finished up saying the one thing we know is when we're running on empty, guys, physically, emotionally, spiritually, is that we just need to refuel. We refuel. And that's the actual prayer that the Apostle Paul shares in Scripture when he pens this, that you would be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. You go, what do you mean? It's not a one-time feeling. He says we need a constant refueling. Why? Because we have a constant need. There are always those things in our life which are going to be draining and challenging us and wearing us down. And when you get to that point, you have a choice of what you're going to do. And let me speak to our college group here. You can rest too. You're always pushing, studying. I get that. Well, once I graduate, take a moment to rest. You'll be far better off. You'll be far sharper if you just take a moment to do these three things. So now we continue on in Mark's gospel, picking it up in verse 45 with me. Guys, there? He says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, and while he sent the multitude away. Now, again, think about what Mark is saying. Immediately he told the boy. Now, they've been doing ministry. They're tired. They're spent. They're running on empty. And he tells the guys, hey, guys, get into that boat. Go. I want you to go over to Bethsaida. I'm gonna dismiss the crowd. I'm going to dismiss the crowd. Now, I want you to think about this. There were 5,000 men that fed, that ate, plus we didn't see women and children, so who knows how many. And so Jesus is going to address them. Now, it seems, again, I want you to think about this. Immediately, he made. Look at that word made up there, okay? I want you to see that. But here's what we need to understand where they're at. I want to give you some context. They seem to be about the western part of the Sea of Galilee, near Capernaum. But remember, they went to a remote place, so they're probably a little bit farther than in the town because the disciples say, hey, let them go into the towns and find something to eat. So they're probably about farther out. Bethsaida is anywhere 6 to 10 miles from where they're at, crossing the sea. Now, think about this for just a moment. Just a moment. From here to my house is 3 miles. It takes me 10 minutes, no matter how you slice it, due to traffic and lights and everything else. So it takes about 20 minutes if I were to leave here, go home, and come back, about 20 minutes. That's about 6 miles. You add another 4 miles, okay, let's just say 30 minutes by car. You go, that's not a big deal. But now it's not by car. I wonder how long it takes to walk. You know, I mean, it takes a little bit longer. If we're going by boat, I'm not sure how long it is, but we know it's 6 to 10 miles. But the Bible says that Jesus made them, the word is constrained, the disciples, says, go to Bethsaida. And Mark doesn't give us all the details of what's going on. He's just saying, go to Bethsaida. The disciples are like, okay, what are you going to do, Lord? I'm going to dismiss the crowd and I'll meet you there. Jesus constrained the disciples to go. And the word constrained seems to indicate, check this out, that he knew a storm was going to be brewing. But right here, I believe that he wanted to teach what we call a life lesson to the disciples. A life lesson. The first thing that jumps off the page is the disciples were obedient. I wonder how many of us today, church, are obedient, not knowing all the reasons why. The Lord says to do, to go, and okay. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's Gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I